Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I was hoping to see Caleb Krause here today. He told me back in the fall when we started Hebrews, he was excited about getting to Hebrews chapter 11, and so maybe he'll be tuning in later. I was thinking about him this week and his love for this chapter. Caleb is serving as a youth pastor in Florida now, and he's moved down there since we've started the book of Hebrews, but been thinking about him this week. I hope this is a reminder to you guys. Be praying for Caleb Krause, serving at the church in Florida. Alex Duncan, one of ours from Mountain Creek as well, beginning today, serving as an interim youth pastor at a church in Charleston. So praise God for what he's doing as he's sending out from among us. Be praying for these guys as they serve. Hebrews chapter 11. If you're new, we love to stand to honor God as we hear his word. So would you stand with me and let's hear God's word, the first seven verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This is the word of God. Father, we ask you now that you would open our eyes to your word. Show us what you would have us to learn from it today. Shape us by it. God, help us to honor you in how we respond. Would you do this in us by your Spirit? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you are new, maybe today is your very first time. I want to thank you for coming out on a wet Sunday morning, on a Sunday morning where you lost an hour of sleep last night and still you chose to be here. Like Pastor Matt said earlier, I would love to meet you after the service is over. I'm going to be out those back doors there under the porch. Matt will be here at the front, but I'd love to meet you if you're a guest. And if you are new, you're stepping in to our study through the book of Hebrews. We began this book back in August, and we're making our way through section by section of the book of Hebrews, and today we make it to Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter that is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. Some folks call it the Faith Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith. It's a chapter where the author of the book of Hebrews lists the lives of several men and women from the Old Testament who showed us what it looks like to live by faith. We're going to go through this chapter over the next four sermons. So today and the next three Sundays, we'll stay here in Hebrews 11. And as I was looking through it, I'd love to take about 15 weeks in Hebrews 11 and just take a week per person and just make our way through this chapter. But we'll do it in four Sundays, Lord willing. And along the way, what we want to consider is, what is faith? What is faith? Is faith blind? So for it to be real faith, does it mean it has to be just blind belief? Like there's no evidence, we just have to trust. Is faith blind? Is faith just a feeling? Is it okay to say, I don't know why I think it's right, but I just have a feeling, and so I'm going to go? Is faith the same thing as just going with your gut? Is that what faith is? Is faith just positive thinking? Is it positive thinking? Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking, and he said, first thing every morning before you arise, before you get out of bed, say out loud, I believe, three times. Is that faith? Just positive thinking. I believe everything's going to be okay. I'm just going to go. Is faith just that, positive thinking? Does faith have to have an object? Or is it just faith? Or is there an object that faith is holding on to? A couple more questions. Is faith opposed to reason? Benjamin Franklin said that the way to see by faith is to shut the eye of reason. So does faith mean I just stop thinking and I just believe, contrary to reason? Or what about this? Does it matter which God you have faith in? Is it okay to just believe in some type of divine? As long as you believe in a God, does it matter which God? Faith. The life of the Christian is built on faith. Our salvation is through faith. The Christian life continues through faith. We will see victory over death through faith. So the answer to these questions is important. What is faith? Well, faith for the Christian has been seen as containing three elements: knowledge and assent and trust. Knowledge, so faith isn't blind. Faith is built on what can be known about God from the world, but primarily from His Word. Faith is built on what God has revealed to us through the Word of God, knowledge. And faith includes assent. So when we talk about assent, we're talking about not just knowing facts, but agreeing with those facts. Assent is agreeing to follow after. When we give thoughtful consideration, we know things, we give assent, we now follow after that. Knowledge and assent and trust. Trust. Faith is actively entrusting yourself to God, built on what we know about God from His Word and agreeing with what He has said. Faith gives our lives to Him in response to that. It's actively entrusting ourselves to Him. And faith for the Christian is faith in God. Faith in the God of the Bible, faith as God reveals Himself to us through Jesus Christ. And so as we read Hebrews chapter 11, and we know in the world around us there's a lot of talk just about faith in a general sense, we can't divorce the faith that is in Hebrews chapter 11. We can't divorce faith from the rest of the book of Hebrews. What we've seen over the book of Hebrews is that this God, the God described to us in the book of Hebrews, the God who sent His Son for us, the God who spoke to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we're talking about Him and faith in Him. Those facts that we have seen about Jesus, that we give assent to, that we trust, we trust them and so we live in a certain way, that's faith. And Hebrews 11 shows us that faith, and we're going to see it in different ways over the course of this chapter, but these first seven verses, really, I want us to see it as an introduction of sorts, gives us five principles about biblical faith, and that's what we want to see this morning. Five principles about biblical faith from Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7. Number one is this: faith is a conviction that what is unseen is real. Faith is a conviction that what is unseen is real. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, that it is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is assurance, and faith is conviction. It is that by which we understand certain realities are true. What faith is not is a leap in the dark. Maybe you remember that Indiana Jones movie, where Indiana gets to the edge of that big chasm there, and he looks out and he sees the other side, and he sees the door opening to the other side, and the Holy Grail is right on the other side of that chasm, but he can't see the bridge. You remember that scene? And he looks down, and it just looks like a bottomless pit in a bottomless canyon, and he doesn't know. He knows he's got to be able to get across. He doesn't know how until what happens. He scatters the rocks, but before he scatters the rocks, what does he do? He takes out his book, and he reads in his book, and he sees in his book that there is a bridge here. So then he gets the little stones, and he scatters them out across there, and he sees that there is something there. The stones land on something. So even for Indiana Jones right there, that scene where he kind of steps out. Even for him, it's not just a leap in the dark. It was built on evidence that something of substance was really there. He had something to stand on to walk across to get to the other side. And he knew that because of the book. He knew that it was real. Faith is not just stepping out and hoping for the best. Faith knows, and faith believes, and faith is convinced, it has conviction that what is unseen is true and is real and is certain. And faith is assured of that. Faith is certain of that. It has conviction, has confidence. Where does that confidence come from? It comes from God's Word. It comes from God's Word. God's Word is the lifeline to faith in us. It comes from the book. Faith stands firmly and confidently on what God has revealed to be true in His Word. And so in that way, Hebrews 11 verse 3 is really key for understanding the message of this whole chapter. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Look down with me. Hebrews 11 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God." By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Creation itself shows us that God can bring unseen things into physical existence. So you can be assured, God has this ability. He can bring things that we cannot see into physical existence. So you can be assured of our hope of heaven, our hope of eternal life, our hope of the reward. You can be assured of that hope, life with Christ forever. You can be assured of that, even though we don't yet see it, because God is able to bring things that are yet unseen into physical existence. God is able to make the unseen seen. People say seeing is believing. But Hebrews 11 says just because something is unseen doesn't mean it's not real. Just because something is future doesn't mean you can't be confident or certain or sure that it won't exist. Let me tell you, because it's so popular today, what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about manifesting your desired reality. I'm not talking about just believing that God's going to give you riches or a car or a job or a good test grade just because you just believe it and you just speak it, and so you're going to manifest it, you're going to bring it into existence, and it's going to become real in your life. That's not biblical faith. That's not what I'm talking about here. Biblical faith is trusting that God has spoken. God has spoken this universe into being. God has spoken His promises over us, and chiefly that God has spoken to us in His Son. In His Son. God has spoken to us, and we can trust Him. And everything else in this chapter hinges on that. And so in this chapter, we're going to see Abel and Enoch and Noah today. We're going to see Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph next week, and on through the list of Hebrews 11. Their faith didn't stop with knowledge. It was more than knowledge. Faith doesn't just mean believe in God, like I believe there's a pulpit here in front of me. It moves to assent, and it moves to trust. Faith believes that the reality of God is determinative. Because God is, that now guides my life. The reality of God is worth ordering my life by. For the people in this chapter, faith was the key to their worldview. Faith was the lens through which they saw the world. They believed that the unseen was a reality because they trusted in God. That's what we see in Hebrews 11. Faith is the conviction that what is unseen, the spiritual reality is revealed by God in His Word, the conviction that what is unseen is real. Number two, Hebrews 11 shows us that faith is how we receive God's approval. Faith is how we receive God's approval. Look down with me at verse 2. Verse 2, "For by it," by faith, "by it the people of old received their commendation." That word just means approval or reward. Those of you reading the King James Version, you'll read there that "by it people of old received a good report." School students, are you receiving good report cards? You know, the way you receive a good report card at school is by working hard. by studying or by using ChatGPT. I don't know. Hopefully not that. Hopefully by studying, hopefully by performing, hopefully by completing your assessments and your assignments on time, you complete the task and you work to earn the A. But the way we receive a good report from God is not like that. The way we receive a good report from God is not behavior, but belief. It's not by trying, but by trusting. It's not by works, it's by faith. Faith is how we receive God's approval. The works will come, the behavior will come, and Hebrews 11 is going to show that, but faith alone is how we receive the reward. And I get that, not just from that statement in verse 2, though we get it in verse 2. Verse 2 would be enough there for us. It is the way that the people of old received their commendation, but I get that also from the example in verse 4. Look down at verse 4. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which, by faith he did this, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. We read of Abel and we read of Cain in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis 4, Abel and Cain, the sons of Adam and Eve, we read that Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And we read that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, but Cain's was not. Cain's wasn't. What's the difference? Well, the difference, according to Hebrews 11, is not because one of them offered plants and fruit of the ground and one of them offered an animal sacrifice. That's not the difference. The difference, according to Hebrews chapter 11, is faith. Faith was the difference. But there's an important question for us. Because if you go back and you read Genesis chapter 4 this afternoon, what you're not going to find is the word faith in there. So where does Hebrews 11 get the word faith when that word is not even mentioned in Genesis chapter 4? And it's because the author of the book of Hebrews, inspired by the Spirit, is showing us that any act that God rewards, any act of obedience that pleases God, comes from faith. Any act that God rewards, any act of obedience that pleases God, comes from faith. We're actually going to read that in verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please God apart from faith. So any act that does please God, like Abel's, must be an act of faith that flows from faith. You need to know this principle. A true Christian obedience always flows from faith in Christ, or else it is neither Christian nor obedience. True Christian obedience always flows from faith in Christ, or else it is neither Christian nor true obedience. It has to be from faith. Cain's offering wasn't accepted. Cain's offering was obedience in name only, which isn't true obedience. Abel, though, trusted God. He acted in faith, and he received God's approval. And Hebrews says that it was by faith that he did that, and that faith still speaks. His faith still teaches us something today. It tells us that when you live a life of faith, your influence on this earth outlives your time on this earth. When you live a life of faith, your influence on this earth outlives your time on this earth. There's a word there for grandparents in this room. Grandparents, do you want to have a lasting impact on future generations? Then live a life of faith. Live by faith, and your faith will still speak for generations after you die. But the main takeaway for us is this. The way we receive a good report from God is not behavior, but belief. It's not by trying, it's by trusting. It's not by works, it's by faith. That God's approval doesn't just come for any work that we do, but not from our outward obedience, but it's given to those who live by faith. Number 3, verse 5. Faith is how we receive victory over death. Hebrews 11 shows us that faith is how we receive victory over death. That's the lesson of Enoch, and that's a lesson that we need. Faith is how we receive victory over death. That's the lesson that we need for our own lives. That's the lesson that we need for encouragement for those who've gone before us, those we love. Pat Hall received victory over death because of her faith. We prayed this last week for the family of Cindy Sloan. Walt Green received victory over death because of his faith. Faith is how we receive victory. Faith is how we receive victory over death, not works. Enoch. Enoch gets three verses in Genesis chapter 5. He gets three verses. The last of those is Genesis 5:24, which says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And that's underlined here in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, five times in five different ways, what we read there is Enoch didn't die. Five times in that one verse. Look at it. You'll see it with me. Enoch was taken up. He did not see death. He was not found, that is his body. God had taken him, and he was taken. Enoch, a man who lived by faith, verse 5 says, didn't die. He was taken up by God. And faith is how we too triumph over death. We follow Christ in this life. And Christ triumphed over the grave. It's what the choir just sang about. Christ triumphed over the grave, and through faith in him, we share in his victory. Like Enoch, we walk with God in this life. We walk with Christ in this life, and then we walk with him through death to life on the other side. Like Enoch, by faith, we follow him. We walk with him. Because of Jesus, we follow him through death to life and victory on the other side. That's what faith does. Faith walks with God. Faith walks with God. By faith, we'll walk with God eternally. But that only comes to those who by faith are walking with God in this life. So let me ask you, are you walking with God? Is your faith leading you to be one who's described as walking with God? That's what's held up for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Number four, faith is how we receive access to God. Faith is how we receive access to God. Verse 6 is another defining sentence here. Verse 6, it leaves the list of examples, and it turns once more to statement. It really follows up there from the end of verse 5. Verse 5 ends with that he was Enoch pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6 is perhaps one of the clearest, most important statements on faith in the Bible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if you haven't seen it already in Hebrews 11, what you need to know here is that faith is necessary. Faith is necessary. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith in Christ, and faith in Christ alone, is the only way that anyone can please God. It's the only way that anyone can receive God's approval. It's the only way that anyone can defeat death. It's the only way that anyone can receive access to God, both in this life and after death. Faith is necessary to draw near. Faith is necessary to please God so we can come near to God. We should ask, why? Why is faith necessary to please God? Have you ever asked that question? Why is faith required to please God? And the answer is that faith by its nature looks to God. Faith by its nature relies on God. Faith looks to God to supply in me what I don't have in myself. Faith is looking to God to supply in me what I don't have in myself. Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 said, it is by his grace and through faith that I'm saved. Nothing good dwells in me, so I need to look to him. It's by his grace alone and through faith that I'm saved. Faith is inherently receiving. Faith is receiving what God has done. Faith is receiving the reward from God. It's saying that I know I can't earn this. Faith is trusting that God has done this on my behalf. Faith is looking to God for that which I do not have, namely righteousness. We see that in verse 2 and in verse 4 here in Hebrews 11. And that righteousness that he gives through faith grants me access to him. I receive righteousness, right standing with God. And because of that right standing with God, now I have access with Him, and that comes to me through faith. So if we're going to draw near to God, something that we've seen over and over and over again in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, verse 22, verse 25, this call for us to draw near to God in Hebrews. If we're going to do that, if we're going to approach God, if we're going to do that even right here, right now in worship, it must be done through faith that God Himself has done everything necessary to make that possible. God's done everything necessary to make that possible, and He did it in Jesus. That's what we've seen in the book of Hebrews. What Christ has accomplished by His blood, His sacrifice, His intercession for us. Faith trusts in that, and because of Christ, faith draws near to God in response. God gives us access. We can approach God because of what Christ has done. That's what we've seen in Hebrews. We can approach Him because of what Christ has done. We receive that access through faith. It's faith in Christ. So you see that true faith isn't faith in faith. True faith isn't faith in faith. True faith is faith in Christ. I'm not trusting in my own faith. There's an objective content. I'm trusting in Jesus. True faith is faith in Christ. I must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. I must have faith that He is and that He grants me access to Himself. I can draw near to Him. He is and He rewards. He is and He grants me access to Himself. If faith is how we receive access to God, what is the reward? God. God's the reward. The reward, guys, that we're going for is not streets of gold, and it's not forgiveness, and it's not even eternal life, and all of those things are incredible. I'm pretty excited about walking on the streets of gold after driving up and down Stallings Road every day. That's incredible. But those are just, that's just icing on the cake. I mean, that's just the extras. Faith gets me access to God. We get to draw near to Him. He is the reward. He rewards us with life with Jesus. Heaven's not heaven if Jesus isn't there. He rewards us with life with Christ. And He makes that possible. He did that through Christ. And He says the way we receive that is through faith. Faith looks to God as the reward. So are you in this life right now seeking Him? Are you seeking to draw near to Him through Jesus Christ? Are you seeking Him right now? Do you see God as the reward? And do you know that only by faith will you get there? That it's only through faith. Finally, number 7, faith acts in response to God's Word. Faith acts in response to God's Word. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 here of Hebrews 11, Noah, we get one verse, and he's covering 4 chapters of the book of Genesis in this one verse. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He became an heir of the righteousness, the right standing with God that comes by faith. Noah shows us that faith acts. So if there's anybody here squirming when I'm saying it's not about the works, let me just double down on that. It's not about the works. You're not saved by your works. But if you're saved through faith, you will work. If you're saved through faith, you will act. Faith is passive. It receives. That's primarily what it is. It's passive. It receives what God has done. But then because we've received what God has done, now it's active and we live in response to that. And that's what we see in the life of Noah. Faith obeys because faith trusts that what is unseen is real. So faith then obeys and lives in light of that. We can't see, it's verse 3, we can't see creation from nothing, but we trust it because Scripture tells us. We can't see it, we can't prove it, but we trust it because God has told it to us. We can't see the reward, but we believe in it because God has told it to us, and we cannot see the result of obedience, but we believe God that it's for our good. Obedience is for your good. Obedience, in whatever way Scripture is calling us to obey, as painful as it might seem in the moment at times, as hard as it might be for us to carry out, as much as it might require of us, as much as we might have to change our life because of that obedience, obedience is for your good. So it's an act of faith. We're trusting that God has something good for us as we obey. Faith obeys. And faith acts in response to God's word. And God spoke to Noah. God warned Noah. God spoke to Noah. Noah received God's word and Noah acted. And we have received God's word and so we act. We act. We obey. We don't just believe, but we live by faith. We follow Jesus in specific acts of faith. That's why the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So don't tell me that you have faith if that faith isn't leading you to actively follow Jesus. Faith follows in specific ways. Faith obeys. It follows God. It draws near to God. Faith leads us to draw near to Him because we know that that's where we find life. We live in the way that He showed us. Faith seeks God, seeks communion with God, and that's what this table is. We come to this table today because we've received God's invitation to come to Him through Jesus Christ. And so we have believed. And we have come to Him by faith, and this table is a tangible expression of that. It is something that in His grace, God has given us as a reminder that what we have believed is true. We can draw near to God. And this table reminds us of that. It's a physical reminder of a spiritual reality. We can draw near to God. And that's only possible because of the body of Christ, because of the blood of Christ poured out for us. And friend with us today who doesn't know Christ, and you know right now you're not a Christian. You've never put your trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. You've never given your life to follow Him by faith. Friend with us who's not a Christian, I want to say we're really glad that you're here. You're always welcome here. We're thankful that you're here. And today we want you to know there's an invitation for you. What God is telling you today is to draw near to Him through Jesus. Draw near to Him through Jesus. Noah, in verse 7, believed that judgment was coming. And so he trusted in God's one and only means of salvation, the ark. And if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've seen a couple of times recently this word that judgment is coming. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, Hebrews 9 tells us. And in the same way that God warned Noah, God is warning us. But with the warning, there's a way of escape. There's a rescue. And just like Noah trusted in God's one and only means of salvation, would you today trust in God's one and only means of salvation? Not an ark, but Jesus. Would you trust in God's one and only means of salvation? Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to invite you, friend, to trust in Him today. He laid down His life for you. He gave His life in your place that you might receive forgiveness of sins. He took on the penalty that you deserve so that you can be forgiven and have life in Him. So receive forgiveness. Receive relationship with God through Jesus Christ and begin a life of following Him by faith. If that's you today, when we're done in just a moment, we're going to take communion in just a moment. And we're going to stand after that and we're going to sing a song. You need to receive Christ today. I want to invite you to step out during that song and come and find me at the front. Step out and come and find me. And let's talk about what it looks like for you to give your life to follow Christ.